More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready for Smart Money Happy Hour. Pull up a chair. It's the happy hour you wish your friends were having.
Mix two money experts with some hot takes and a splash of nostalgia, and you get me, George Camel.
And me, Rachel Cruz, talking unfiltered about what's going on in the world, pop culture, and how to afford a life you love.
We're talking money, celebrity budgets, and my budget for my two French bulldogs. It's a lot.
You'll hear it all on Smart Money Happy Hour. Listen on the iHeart app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gonna tell it like it really is. We know Haney doesn't give a shh. Silencing critics, eliminate misses. Two chips never accept on shoulders to get better. Everybody knows the name, read about it. We're golf teachers, Hall of Fame. Never doubt it, it's time for the truth. Here's our dude, you're listening to Haney. You're listening to Haney. You're listening to Haney. It's time for the truth, here's our dude. You're listening to Haney. Yeah. Listening to Haney.
The Hank Haney Podcast is brought to you by Haney University. That is my website, haneyuniversity.com, and that's where you can find out information about how to get better at golf. And number one, you can get lessons from me, either in Scottsdale, Arizona, or at the golf practice in Highland Park, Illinois. That is where I'm currently teaching. And you can also register for my free instructional videos on HaneyUniversity.com. So the Hank Haney Podcast can also be heard on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts. So check it out, the Hank Haney Podcast. All right, this is the Masters Review. Scottie Scheffler wins his second green jacket, the favorite going into the tournament, the far and away favorite, not even the close favorite, although he became, I think, only the second player that was ranked number one and favored to win the tournament that ended up winning it. Many have tried. Obviously, Tiger has done it, but Scottie Scheffler does it as well. Fantastic win, great champion, kind of a no-brainer pick as the favorite going in. Of course, it's never a no-brainer pick, picking winners at golf tournaments because anything can happen. But Scottie Scheffler wins, and he kind of wins going away, which it kind of gives the tournament a little bit of a downer, if you will. I mean, not that he's not a great champion, not that he wasn't deserving, but of course, everybody is hoping. You know, and I'm talking to golf fans, and I talked to a bunch of them the last 2 days, and everybody was hoping there would be a little bit more drama on the back nine on Sunday, which so often there is at Augusta, but not this time. Scottie Scheffler, too much. Finishes 11 under par, beats Ludvig Åberg. Beats him by four shots. Now, Åberg is a 22-year-old, just turned pro. Incredible talent, playing in his first, not only his first Masters, his first major championship. And he finishes second, pretty unbelievable, but he loses by four shots. So it wasn't really like this was, I mean, Scottie Scheffler was challenged to a certain extent. I mean, he shot 68 the last round. That's a great round. Oberg would have had, you know, he'd have had to shoot 60. He shot 69. He'd have had to shoot 65 to tie him. That's not probably not going to happen Sunday at Augusta. Fleetwood finished four under. He shoots 69. He'd have had to shoot 62 on Sunday to tie him. So he was not in the golf tournament. Colin Morikawa shoots 74 on Sunday. He finishes four under par. He would have had to shoot 67, which would have been the low round of the day to tie Scheffler. And Max Homa shoots 73. He'd have had to shoot 66 to time. So a few players could have shot the low round of the day, the low round of the tournament, and maybe come up with a tie. But on Sunday at Augusta, that's probably not going to happen. So the bottom line is, it wasn't really close. Scheffler got off to a little bit of a shaky start, although he said he hit some really good shots. It didn't turn out great. And then he just started hitting great shots, and it was ball game over before you know it. Not a lot of wind blowing. A lot of wind blowing during the tournament. Only 11 under wins. That's a high winning score for Augusta. But not a lot of wind on Sunday. So it really made the tricky 12th hole play incredibly easy. When the wind's blowing, it's up there in the pines. It's swirling around down there at Amen Corner. And it gets really difficult. You catch a bad gust, you miss hit it a little bit, and next thing you know, you're in the water and the whole tournament changes. And think about it. Think about how many times you watch the Masters and something disastrous happens on the 12th hole, and it didn't really happen. And on the 13th hole, they lengthened the 13th hole. I think it made it more of a hole where you absolutely have to hit a good drive to be able to go for it in two. And if you don't hit that great drive, then you automatically lay up. So it seemed like there was less players going for it in two. And as a result, maybe fewer disasters there as well. Not sure how that worked out. I guess it worked out okay because the holes is a great hole. I mean, I think that, like someone asked me the other day, what's my favorite hole at Augusta? They asked me on Twitter and I said, number 13. Number 13 is probably my favorite hole anywhere. Forget about Augusta. Forget about, and I don't think it would matter whether it was short or long, or you lengthened it, or you lengthened it this much, or you lengthened it that much. It's still going to be the greatest hole. If it's not in the years past a hard par five, well then then it's a hard par four, and it doesn't matter what the par is. It's a phenomenal hole. I think that the new tee box was worked out good. I mean, I mean, probably a few too many layups for me the first few rounds, but maybe that had to do with the wind as much as anything. But not a lot of drama on the back nine. And Scheffler, you know, deserving. He's the best ball striker on tour. It's not even particularly close. I don't think he's the best putter. We know he's not the best putter. But he's not a horrible putter, and he putts good at Augusta. Matter of fact, he got around there. He got around the Masters in 2-3 putts. And remember, before this tournament starts, I don't want to say I told you so, but I did tell you so. It boils down to three putting, penalty shots, and two chips. And if you paid close attention, those are the three keys to golf: eliminating your penalty shots, two chips, and three putts. If you paid close attention to those three things, they were on full display, as they always are. They are at every golf tournament, but they are particularly on display at Augusta. You miss greens, you're left with a difficult short game shot, and maybe sometimes you don't get it on the green. You chip it over the green. You chip it off the green. You leave it in the bunker. Colin Morikawa left it in the bunker on number nine. And penalty shots are out there at Augusta. I mean, they're there on the front nine. If you hit it in the you know, creek on two, or the land it in the bushes or up against a tree. But 11, the water on 11, that Oberg hit it in the water there. That was parties over for him when he did that. flashy a double bogey right there, essentially a two-shot penalty hitting it in that lake where he did, having to drop where he had to drop. And, you know, he got the penalty shots on 13, the penalty shots on 15. A lot of players take them. I mean, Jordan Spieth, you know, made a bundle at 15, and that was his tournament over before it really started for him. It's always the way at Augusta. Now, before the tournament, I said, if you can keep your three putts to a minimum and eliminate penalty strokes and the two chips, then you have your best chance to win. It's always the same formula. The penalty shots at Augusta, the two-shot penalties are tough to overcome. A penalty on, if you hit it in a creek on 13 off the tee, you get to drop it up there. You know, it's something you can kind of overcome. You hit your second shot in the water at 15. It's really a two-shot penalty. You got to drop behind the lake. And that's going to be a tough one to overcome. You're looking at double there. You know, a penalty shot at 11 is kind of the same thing. 12, certainly the same thing. So penalty shots equal double bogeys, and double bogeys equal not winning major championships. And it's one of the things that Steve Williams always used to talk about. Tiger's former caddy said, if we just can make it through the week, and he was always talking about this at major championships, we make it through the week without a double bogey, we'll win the tournament. And I would always think, you know, three putts. Limit your amount of three putts, and Tiger would win the tournament. This was back in the day. That's all I was thinking. And in fact, he would have won four or five, maybe six green jackets during the years I coached him, 2004 through 2010 Masters. And he would have won those Masters if he had limited his three putts to one or less. And in fact, when he won in 2019, he only had one three putt for 72 holes, and that's the formula at Augusta. Now I measure three putts differently than a lot of people measure three putts. I measure it as a three putt. If you use your putter from off the green and you three putt, I count that as a three putt. And the reason I do is because every player who plays a game would count that as a three putt as well. If you are putting from a place that everyone in the field would have putted from. In other words, if you're a foot off the green at Augusta, every player on the field would use their putter from there. And everyone who putts, and if they three putt, they're all going to say, I three putted on that hole. Now, let's say you're 10 feet off the green and you elect to use a putter, and somebody else might chip it. They may use a sand wedge. They may use an 8-iron, whatever. They may chip it. I'm not going to count that as a three putt because you elected to putt that one. But if you're putting from somewhere where everybody in the field would use their putter, then that's a three putt when you add it up. So the three putts that are listed at Augusta, when they list their statistics, they always list the three putts. They're always misleading because so many shots at Augusta, the ball will land on the green, it'll roll just off the green, you'll be 6 inches, 2 inches, a foot off the green, and you're using a putter for your next shot. And technically, it's not a three putt, but we all know that it really is. So Scottie Scheffler, two three putts. He had one penalty shot. Hit it in the creek. I think it was on 13, and then that no two chips. So that's a total of three right there. He beats Ludvig Åberg. He beats him by four shots. Åberg, one three putt, one two chip. Remember, Scottie Scheffler had a total of three for the penalty shots, two chips, and three putts. Åberg, five penalty shots. Now, I count it as a penalty shot. If you hit it in the woods and you got to come out sideways, essentially that is a penalty shot because you hit a shot, you took a stroke and you didn't cover any distance. Obviously, the water hazard is a penalty shot. Out of bounds, a two-shot penalty. A water hazard where you got to drop it back behind the hazard, that's essentially a two-shot penalty. Lateral water hazard, that's a one-shot penalty. But five penalty shots for Åberg, one three-putt, one two-chip. That's a total of seven. And for Scottie Scheffler, a total of three. And there you go. That is your difference in the tournament. A four-stroke win by Scottie Scheffler due to penalty shots, two chips, and three putts. Åberg has the distance. He could cut that advantage down on Scottie Scheffler, but you cannot have your penalty shots, two chips, and three putts, equaling seven, count it, seven, and winning a major championship. It cannot and will not happen. Now, had he not hit it in the water on 11, and you know, everybody's like, shoulda, woulda, coulda, if he didn't hit it in the water. If he doesn't hit it in the water, his total of penalty shots, two chips, and penalty and three putts is five, and he still loses by two. Five's too big a number. You don't win with that. And it's amazing how it can boil down to that. You know, you see guys three putt two or three times in the opening round, or a three putt and a ball in the water, and you know they've lost three shots right there, and. You know, the commentators and the analysts, they'll tell you, oh, you know, his score's okay, he can still come. And it technically can, but the likelihood is very, very low that it will happen when you have those kind of numbers. So you got to eliminate the penalty shots, two chips, and the three putts if you are going to win golf tournaments. And that's the formula. You know, I mean, you got to get the ball up and in. You got to hit greens. You got to make putts. I understand you have to do all that stuff, but this is the difference every single time. I look at Colin Morikawa. His total was five on the penalty shots, two chips, and three putts, and you know he loses by seven. So he didn't have enough ball striking to overcome even that amount. Now, I mean, if he'd have played a perfect tournament, penalty shots, two chips, and three putts, absolutely clean. Rarely does it happen, but absolutely clean. It does happen, but rarely. If he played a clean tournament, he still loses by two shots. And why would that be? Because here's why that would be. And he pointed this out in his interview. He's talking about Scottie Scheffler. And he said on one hole, Scottie Scheffler drove it 25 yards by him, which was pretty commonplace. Scheffler's a long hitter. Colin Morikawa is not. Augusta's not a great golf course for a short hitter. A player like Colin Morikawa, if he was ever going to win at Augusta, he's going to win on a bad weather Augusta. This was a bad weather Augusta. It's a low winning score. Usually 18, 16, something like that under par will win at Augusta. But this time it was 11 under par. This is one where you could have somebody jump up and win. And actually, I mean, except for Scheffler, you know, the scores were pretty bunched up, starting with Oberg at seven under par, and then going back to the guys at four. Those two players really separated from the field. This was one of those Augustas where, with the exception of Scottie Scheffler, I mean, it would have been a very high winning score. A shorter hitter needs that kind of tournament to win. You can't give up 25 yards. You know, I always say distance is the most important factor in golf in determining your potential. And this goes at every single level. I always use the example with amateur golfers. I said, you know, you can hit it 200 yards and you can play a nice game of golf, but you're never going to be a single-digit handicap. You can hit it 250 yards and you can be a low handicap golfer, but you're not going to be a plus handicap golfer. That's not going to happen. You can hit it 275, 280 yards. You can be a really nice college player. You're not playing the PGA Tour. You can hit it 290 yards. You can play the PGA Tour. You're never dominating the PGA Tour. It's not going to happen. Distance determines your potential in the game. When you're hitting it 25 yards behind, and Colin Morikawa pointed this out, he said, I forget what hole they were talking about, but he says, Scottie Scheffler's probably hitting an 8-iron, and I was hitting a 5-iron. And no matter how good your iron game is, you see, when you hit a more lofted club, you hit more underneath the ball. And when you hit more underneath the ball, you put more spin on the ball. And when you put more spin on the ball, you're going to be more accurate with that shot. And you cannot stand back there and hit 5-irons and have everybody else hitting 8-irons or certain players hitting 8-irons. And it's the same formula that Tiger used for all those years. Now, Nicklaus used a formula. Greg Norman used a formula. They all use a formula. That's the domination. Rory McIlroy, that's his formula. And when you're Scottie Scheffler and you can hit it as far as he does, you're in a position where you're gonna reduce the par of the golf course. You reduce the par of the golf course because all the par fives are available to you. And when you're a short hitter, some of the par fives may be available to you with a long shot in, but still, once again, you're hitting a 4-iron, you're hitting a 3-iron, you're hitting a hybrid or a fairway wood, and the other guy's hitting a middle iron. It's no comparison. And that is one of the things that separates greatness. I mean, absolute greatness. You know, back in the day, you think back a few years ago and Jordan Spieth had an incredible run. And he didn't have that formula. And that's why that run was destined to not be a long run. It just can't be. Scottie Scheffler has the formula for domination in today's game. Now, what is he dominating? He's dominating a bunch of players that at the current time are not playing very good. Now, on the PGA Tour, there's a limited amount of talent because half of the talent went to the LIV Tour. But even when you look at all the players and throw them all together like they did at Augusta, there wasn't much happening out there with these great players. I mean, Rory was not going good before the tournament. He wasn't hitting any good. He had an emergency lesson out in Las Vegas from Butch Harmon, and Butch's the greatest coach that's ever lived. I mean, his record says that. You know, like my friend Bill Parcells says, you are what your record says you are, and his record says he's the greatest coach ever. But what could he do for Rory a week before the Masters? He could do what he does best. He could pump him up. He could tell him how great he was. He could get him to play, hopefully to his level, by boosting his confidence with a little mental approach and maybe a couple swing thoughts here or there. But Rory hadn't been going good, and he didn't go good at Augusta. Koepka hasn't been going good all year, and he didn't go good at Augusta. And he's a major championship player. There's no two ways about that. Dustin Johnson hadn't been going good this year. He didn't go good at Augusta, even though that's a great golf course for him. A lot of the other guys are a little too old. Phil and Tiger and obviously all the injuries that Tiger has. So those guys are out. You know, Bubba Watson plays Augusta great, but, you know, he's a little past his prime, it seems, right now. So who's really out there? I mean, you know, when you look at John Rahm, hadn't been playing good this year. This is about as easy of a major championship win as I can remember seeing, to be honest with you. I don't remember seeing an easier. I mean, I know he only won by four. I know it was kind of tight. You know, what do you have, a one-shot lead going into Sunday? But boy, oh boy, who do you have a one-shot lead over? He had a one-shot lead over, you know, a guy that just turned pro, playing in his first major. Guy played great. There's no, Oberg played great. There's no, but still, you know, he wasn't going to shoot 65, okay? He had a lead over Colin Morikawa. Colin Morikawa, he hadn't been playing any good. I mean, if you look at his season, I don't know what he had a top 10, one top 10 at the Century Tournament of Champions. He finished fifth. You know, he missed a couple cuts. He won one time in 2023. He was at the Zozo. I mean, he hasn't been going, by his own admission, he hasn't been going great. But he didn't win once in 2020. He hadn't had a good stretch. There's no, you know, he's talking about how he's wanting to get his game back. Max Homa, this was his great major finish for him. I think his best ever, and the second top 10 ever in majors. He wasn't going good. I mean, he finished eighth at the Arnold Palmer. That's about the best that he did all year. A lot of mediocre finishes, just not a lot of challengers, not a lot of challenge. And then you take the form that Scottie Scheffler was in, and on a golf course that he's very good at, and with his length, this is about as easy as it gets for a great player. I mean, you know, sometimes that happens. Sometimes you're going good and nobody else is. And then there's other times when, you know what? You play the round of your life, you play the tournament of your life, and somebody else does the same thing. And that's why there's a lot of luck involved in winning golf tournaments. But when you're the best and you play the best and nobody else is even really on their game, you get a walk away on the, you know, just a walk in the park on the back nine. And Scottie Scheffler, you know, he hit shots. I mean, that the shot that sums up the tournament for me with him is when he knocks it down there on 15. I think it was 15. And I'm listening to the telecast on the Sirius XM, and Steve Melnick, you know, he's saying, well, you know, it's kind of, he's 232 and to the green. And he thinks this is kind of touch and go. Should he go for it? He's got a big lead. He's got three shots. Steve Melnick says he would lay up. Well, first off, Steve Melnick was a nice player. He was never Scottie Scheffler. 232. The game is different today. 232. What do you think Scottie Scheffler's hitting downhill from 232? 4 iron? 5 iron? I don't know. I mean, he ain't hit much. I mean, he just isn't. I mean, Scottie Scheffler from 232 pumped up downhill? Maybe probably hitting a 5 iron. Maybe he's hitting a 4 iron. He's the best iron player in the game. He ain't laying up. And he ended up hitting in the bunker. He got the whole green to work with, running across the green. The surest way to be able to make a par is to get it over the water and just send it out there somewhere to the right. If it gets in the bunker, fine. And then you just knock it on the green from there, and you go about your business. And he did that and more. When you've got that kind of distance and you've got that kind of power, see, it just changes everything. And Scheffler is the best player. It's not even close at the current time. You know, I mean, the whole world golf rankings are screwed up, but they're not screwed up in the number one spot. That's for sure. He's by far the best. And if he just putts decent, he's tough to beat, you know, any time he plays.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready for Smart Money Happy Hour. Pull up a chair. It's the happy hour you wish your friends were having.
Mix two money experts with some hot takes and a splash of nostalgia, and you get me, George Campbell.
And me, Rachel Cruz, talking unfiltered about what's going on in the world, pop culture, and how to afford a life you love.
We're talking money, celebrity budgets, and my budget for my two French bulldogs. It's a lot.
You'll hear it all on Smart Money Happy Hour. Listen on the iHeart app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I get so many questions on Scottie Scheffler. It's the person I get the most. And people say, how does he do it? How does he do it? Like with that, because people look at his swing and they go, you know, man, he doesn't have that good of a swing. Because what people think is a great swing is a swing that's in balance and a swing that's aesthetically pleasing. Although Scottie Scheffler's got a beautiful tempo to his swing. You know, the footwork is that's unique. I mean, there's no two ways about that. But he's not the first guy that's fallen all over the place. Justin Thomas has some unique footwork, and Bubba Watson certainly did. And, you know, Gary Player was off balance pretty much every shot he always hit, but he's always off balance going forward. Scheffler's kind of, you know, jumping around a little bit. But here's what he has. He has incredible club face control. He can control that club face, and that club face gets delivered to the ball all the time a similar way, and it's absolutely spectacular what he does. He is a great champion, and he's an incredibly gifted athlete that just can just go about his business and never let anything bother him. They keep mentioning that on TV to, you know, nauseam. I mean, it's just like, how many times are they going to say it? It is true. Nothing bothers him. His emotion never changes. He just keeps plugging along. There couldn't be a more grounded guy in the world than this guy. And, you know, it is a case of the rich get richer, because the first time he won at Augusta, his wife had to remind him that, you know, and as he was in a, you know, a panic mode before the round, his wife reminded him that no matter what happens, you know, I'm still going to love you and God's still going to love you and everything's going to be fine. And he goes out there and wins. And now, you know, now that he's done it so many times in he's won eight times in the last, you know, couple years. He's done it so many times that you know, this is nothing to him. Nothing shakes him. Nothing, you know, and nothing bothers him. And he just plugs along and he hits it better than everybody. And he makes a couple putts and that's all. It's part of somebody's. People got to do fantastic stuff to be able to beat this guy. He's a dominant player right now, and he's dominating golf that right now is lacking a lot of challengers, to be honest with you. And the ones that are challengers, you know, you got to look at Rory, you got to look at Rahm, you could look at the Zobrist. You know, I don't know who else you look at. I mean, it's just there's not a lot of guys, and Rahm hadn't been going good, and Rory hadn't been going good. You know, Koepka at major championships, he's a force, but he hasn't been going good. So you just got a free run. That's what you got. And that's kind of the way, you know, it is in golf when a player dominates. I always remember seeing that with Tiger. And when we would go to tournaments, I would always think, okay, just got to watch out for Ernie Els. Got to watch out for Vijay Singh. Got to watch out for Phil Mickelson, because he was greatness. There's no two ways about that. But after that, you know, I never thought, you know, anybody jumps out to a lead or whatever, that, you know, Tiger will catch him. And I didn't think it was, you know, in a way that there was so many challengers. There really wasn't. And it's the same. There's even fewer today. There's even fewer challengers, and especially at this point in time. So Scottie Scheffler wins a Masters, great win, and wasn't the best Masters, but it's never a bad Masters. That's the great thing about the Masters. There's never a bad Masters. Like, has there ever been a bad Masters? I mean, it's one thing that's impossible. There can never be a bad Masters. All right, hope everybody enjoyed the podcast. Hit the follow button on the iHeartRadio app. Check me out on YouTube, the Hank Haney YouTube channel, and on nofilter.net, all the great programming on No Filter. And wherever you get your podcasts, you'll hear me. But I appreciate everybody listening. Appreciate everybody following. I hope you all have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon on the Hank Haney Podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with season two. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready for Smart Money Happy Hour. Pull up a chair. It's the happy hour you wish your friends were having.
Mix two money experts with some hot takes and a splash of nostalgia, and you get me, George Campbell.
And me, Rachel Cruz, talking unfiltered about what's going on in the world, pop culture, and how to afford a life you love.
We're talking money, celebrity budgets, and my budget for my two French bulldogs. It's a lot.
You'll hear it all on Smart Money Happy Hour. Listen on the iHeart app or wherever you get your podcasts.